Okay, thank you for coming to our Vaishnav etiquette class. You'll see you'll have some handouts there, which hopefully everyone has. If you don't have, you'll have to share with someone like that. So we'll go over some basic principles of Vaishnav etiquette, which are found in the Hari Bhakti Vilas by Srila Sanatana Goswami and Gopal Bhatta Goswami. As we said, I explained last time, I think we gave the class, that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he instructed Sanatana Goswami at Varanasi, Benares, for 30 days. And then after instructing him, he said, now you write all this down. So there were many principles or instructions about Vaishnav Sadachar, which means proper behavior for devotees, how devotees should behave. So this is like a generic list or a basic list of different principles which devotees should follow in their devotional service. So you'll see all of these. They're relevant for all of us. All devotees should follow these things. And we can apply these to our lives. So we'll read a few quotes, first of all, from Srila Prabhupada about Vaishnav etiquette. Sadacha. If you have any questions, you can ask as we go. Since nothing can be successful without sadacha or etiquette, every action should be performed with proper etiquette. We must act according to proper etiquette. The heart of a saintly person is free from contamination. The way a saintly person acts is known as proper etiquette. A way a saintly person acts is known as sadacha. So you can say sad, we can say sat. Sat means eternal. Sat means truth. So we're talking about those things which are spiritual. Something which is truth, something which is eternal, that is spiritual. Acha means activity. How to behave, proper behavior. So it means spiritual activity, how we should behave. So a devotee will be known by how he behaves. One time, one person said to Prabhupada, how will we recognize your disciples? Prabhupada said, they are perfect ladies and gentlemen, which means we should always act properly. When we're dealing with other devotees, when we are dealing with the general public, when we are dealing with anyone, we should be acting properly. We should have proper sadacha or behavior. Now, as it is said here, a saintly person is known, the way a saintly person acts is known as proper etiquette. So we have to understand what is the proper behavior of a Vaishnava. What is the proper etiquette of a Vaishnava? How he acts, how he responds. All these things must be understood properly. So then, if a person reads the six branches of the Vedas without practicing proper etiquette, he does not get purified, just as a bird flies away from the nest as soon as it grows wings. The Vedas leave him at the time of his death. So this means that Haridas Thakur, Haridas Thakur was noted by Sanatana Goswami himself. Sanatana Goswami wrote these instructions on behalf of Lord Chaitanya. And Sanatana Goswami said to Haridas Thakur, because they used to live together in Jagannath Puri, at the Siddhabakul tree. So, Sanatana Goswami once said to Haridas Thakur, your acha and your pracha are perfect. Some people, they act very nicely, but they do not speak the absolute truth. Just like we see so many people, particularly from India, very nice behavior, but they won't speak the absolute truth. They'll just speak about cricket and so many mundane things. But they act very nicely. Very good people. So many very good people, very nice people. But they do not speak about important things or things which are related to Krishna. And similarly, someone may speak very nicely. Sometimes we also see, particularly in India, people will speak very nicely. They'll give a Bhagavad Shabda. They'll speak for 7 days, 7 nights about the Bhagavatam and about spiritual topics. But then you go around the back of the pandal and they're smoking a bidi. Or doing so many other nonsense activities. We've seen so many of the gurus, so-called gurus from India, then they will preach all sorts of things, but then their personal behavior, it is discovered that they're actually not following proper sadhacha. So it is necessary for devotees to do both. So Sanatana Goswami said to Haridas Thakur, said, you are the perfect acharya. Because everything you say is perfect and everything you do is perfect. Because Srila Prabhupada said that purity is the force of Krishna consciousness. We are pure when we act properly and speak properly. Not that we just do one or the other. Both must be there. So here it is being recommended that we must follow both. Sadhacha. Otherwise, what's the point? You know so much, you study so much, you read so much, but you don't act anything. You don't act properly. Well, what's the point? I am so learned. I know so many shlokas. But I don't act properly towards others. Then what's the point? Where is the fruit of your learning? What is the fruit of knowledge? The fruit of knowledge is humility. If you have knowledge, you will be humble, not proud. People who have material knowledge, they become proud. And you see sometimes devotees, they have so much knowledge of Shastra, but they become very proud. So then all your knowledge is useless. Because you've not understood the actual purport. The purport is, you are simply a servant of Krishna, insignificant servant of Krishna. That is your constitutional position. So this means you have realization. There's a difference between jnana and vijnana. Jnana means knowledge, but vijnana means realization of the knowledge. Although one may have acquired the knowledge of all the Vedas, but if one is not practicing the proper etiquette, or if he does not become a Vaishnava, then all of this knowledge which he has acquired will be lost at the time of death. Proper etiquette increases fame, opulence, longevity, and destroys all inauspiciousness. So all these things take place. If you have proper etiquette, if you treat others properly, then what will be the result? You will get blessings. So what are the blessings that you will receive? You'll become famous, well-known, well-liked. You will become opulent. You'll get material prosperity, like that. Longevity means your life will be long, like that. And all auspiciousness is destroyed. This is simply by developing culture or etiquette or learning how to act like a lady or a gentleman, like that. Now, we can understand in our behavior, if we act properly, if we follow proper sadhachar, there will not be friction in our dealings. When you deal with other devotees or other people, if you're acting properly, there will be no friction. And just like you see between the husband and the wife, if they're treating each other properly, there is no friction. Somehow this doesn't happen so often. Somehow every day something erupts. Just like the bamboos in the forest, they rub together, there is friction, and then comes like that. So that is the nature of the material energy. There is some friction, is there? So why is that? If there's friction, that means between the individuals, whether it's husband and wife, or friend and friend, or guru and disciple, or any relationship we have, or children and parent, any relationship in this world, if there is friction in the relationship, this means we are not following the proper sadhacha. It means we're not behaving properly according to our position. It means we don't understand our position. We're acting outside of our position. As soon as you act outside of your position, you don't behave properly, immediately there will be friction in the relationship. So you can understand, if there's some friction in any relationship you have, someone is not acting properly. That's why the friction is there. Any relationship. So it means we don't understand the culture, we don't understand the sadhaka. So if we understand things properly, how to act and behave properly, we'll never have any problems with anyone. What is this called? Vaikuntha. Spiritual world. Spiritual world, they do not have problems between each other. And if they do, then that is spiritual also. Like that, so. Okay. O King, proper etiquette gives the results of Dharma, Artha, and Karma. Therefore, a wise man very carefully performs the proper etiquette described in the scriptures. Thus one can understand the Vaishnava etiquette purifies the heart and the consciousness. So we will not get back into Goloka Vrindavan just by passing our exams in Bhakti Shastri, Bhakti Vaibhav, Bhakti Vedanta, and then Bhakti Savaboma. You can't go to Krishna and say, oh, Krishna, I got a B plus. B plus and upwards means gopis. Right? But then if you're maybe below B plus, then maybe you have to be a cowherd boy or a something like that. It doesn't work like that. You will not get into the spiritual world simply by knowledge. It is your behavior. Krishna is looking at you all the time. Krishna is looking at us every day. What is your behavior? What is your sadhaka? Are you ready to come back into the spiritual world? Are you qualified to come back into the spiritual world? Why did we leave the spiritual world in the first place? Because we were going to, if we had have stayed there, we would have caused problems. If Krishna brings us back right now, do you think we won't cause any problems? If we go back right now, we will cause problems. Guaranteed we will cause problems. Because we are not pure in heart. You're not pure yet. Mm-hmm. Therefore, we have no qualification to go back to the spiritual world yet. Therefore, we have to develop sadhaka. So if we do go back to the spiritual world, if Krishna lets us come back, Krishna will let us come back, but he has to see you must behave properly. If you interfere in my activities, if you interfere in my pastimes, if your mood is not correct, you have no place to be here. So that's why we're not there now, because we're not qualified as yet. We will cause problems. So we have to learn the proper sadhaka. Okay. Now, here are some basic principles and points from the Hari Bhakti Vilas and the Nectar of Devotion about the proper activities of one who is a Vaishnava. Number one. A Vaishnava offers respect and obeisances to the Guru, to the Lord and his devotees, and to other superiors. One must offer respect and obeisances to the superiors like the Guru, the Lord and his devotees. We must also offer respect to superior relatives like the parents. So this is one of the most important principles of sadhaka or Vedic culture. One of the most important elements of Vedic culture is respect to superiors. This is actually what Vedic culture is based upon. It is the underpinning principle. And you'll see in the modern civilization, this sadhaka or this etiquette is being destroyed. People do not give proper respect to the superiors anymore. And the superiors are not worthy of respect. People, we don't want to give so much respect. They are not so worthy of respect as previously. Not in every case, when we're speaking generally. We're not saying every superior and every... No, but generally it is happening. So therefore, people do not want to give respect to the superiors because we see they're not worthy of the respect which was there previously. But in the Vedic culture, the entire civilization was based upon giving respect to the superiors. Prabhupada says in the Bhagavad Gita, one would not even offer a verbal argument to a superior. You would never verbally challenge a superior. That is Vedic culture. And you'll see, if you study the Ramayana and the Mahabharata, you'll see the entire Mahabharata, is developing all of these principles of proper sadhachar, how we should act properly and behave properly. Now you'll see in the battle of Kurukshetra, just before the battle had begun, after the Bhagavad Gita had just been spoken, and Arjuna was ready to fight, then he took an arrow, right? And he took his arrow and he shot it. This is before the battle began, and it went, landed at the feet of Dronacharya, his guru, straight at the feet. In other words, he was offering respect. You've taught me everything, Dhanu Veda. You've taught me everything, but now I must use this military science against you. If I have to, I will kill you. Now, these are the laws of conduct on the battlefield. But you are my guru. I offer you all respect. So Dronacharya, he took an arrow, right, and then fired it back and clipped Arjuna's helmet, just to touch him on the head. Huh? Ashirvad, and then blessings. You are my best disciple. You are my greatest student. Do what you need to do, and I will do what I need to do. I will stop you, Arjuna. You'll have to go over my body to win this battle. So this is the etiquette. This is sadachar. Respect for the superiors. Like that. So in Vedic culture, it is said here, we must learn to respect the guru, the Lord, and the devotees. So there's a whole subject matter which is there. To respect the superior personalities, like that. It means we have to learn to respect all the devotees.
The questions are there.
No, just let me finish this point, then you can. Yeah. So then, we have to learn to respect all the devotees. You'll see the symptom of the Kanishta Adhikari is when the guru comes to Melbourne, the neophyte devotee, right, is standing on all the other devotees' head to serve the guru, right, pushing all the other devotees out of the way to serve the spiritual master. And even I hear sometimes the devotees come to me and they say there is arguments and politics going on between even the disciples or the servants of the guru. This is not pleasing to the guru. Now you can understand why you're still in the material world. Because if you go back to the spiritual world, you'll just cause problems. What is the spirit in the spiritual world? Gopi Bhatu Pada Kamala Yora Dasa Dasa Anudasa. I am the servant of the servant of the servant of the servant of the devotees of Krishna. But in the material world, even though we are all devotees, Vaishnava Bas, we are shadows of devotees. We look like we're devotees. We wear the tilak and we wear the kanti mala and the dhotis and the saris. We look like we're devotees, but then we're all putting ourselves first. Where is the dasa, dasa, anodasa? Where is the mentality? Where is the proper sadachar? So this must be practiced by the devotees. So it doesn't just mean, here it says you serve the guru, you serve the Vaishnavas, you serve the deities, the Lord. But you have to serve all the devotees properly also. Doesn't mean you just, you know, when the big devotees come, you offer so much respect. But the little devotees, we don't have to respect them so much. What sort of sadhachara is that? Krishna is not impressed. Krishna likes it when all the devotees are being respected. Like that, so. Get a point on.
So actually, system, I don't know, like what I thought was, regardless of whether they are worthy or whether they are not, we have to respect them. They are elder, they are older than us, superior than us. Whether we, I don't worry how they are, whether they are worthy of respect or not, but my duty is to respect That's what I understood. Even Yudhisthira Maharaj, even though Dhritarashtra did so many atrocious activities, but still Yudhisthira, he did so many things like put poison and burn the house. And finally when he lost all the things, he was sitting in that house, like 13th chapter of the first canto, how Yudhisthira Maharaj really honored and he respected his uncle, even though he did so many. So what I don't know, I might be wrong, I think that anybody who is superior, I won't worry whether they're worthy or not. My duty is to respect him. And that's what I think, I don't know.
Yeah, that's the proper mentality. Devotees should have that correct mentality and towards the other devotees. So, any other points?
It is the same point that anybody in the practice, so he has to practice the finale of his mention, so he has to offer all the others without getting in there.
Yeah. Okay. Number two. A Vaishnava should get up before 4 a.m. and attend Mangala Arati. Mangala means auspicious. Arati means? It is the Arati, means the sacred ceremony which we offer to the deities. So, an hour and a half before the sun rises, that is called Brahma Muhurta. This is the most auspicious time of the day to practice spiritual life. To rise early in the morning and to involve or absorb one's consciousness in hearing and chanting about Krishna before the sun has risen. So here it is saying a devotee should attend the Mangala Arati of the deities as much as possible. The people in Kali Yuga, they have a habit of going to bed late. Everyone goes to bed late, especially in India. You see, at 12 o'clock at night, everyone's still walking around on the street. Like that. People don't go to bed early so much. It is the habit, like that. But actually, Vaishnav habit is that we go to bed early, we get up early. That is the system. Like that. So we should attend the Mangala Arati because it means in the morning it's much easier to hear and chant about Krishna because the mind is peaceful. In other words, what else are you going to do at 4 or 5 o'clock in the morning except hear and chant? Because as soon as 7 o'clock comes, everyone starts, Rajagun starts manifesting and everyone starts getting active. So it's harder then to, you know yourself, during the day it's harder to chant your rounds during the day. At night time, it takes you forever to finish your rounds. Yeah, the last round sometimes takes an hour to finish because you're falling asleep while you're chanting. All that, so it's harder to chant. So in the morning, if you're fresh, if you're awake, also you see sometimes the devotees get up early, but then they fall asleep while they're chanting their japa. Just sitting there. So you have to stay awake. So it means if you go to bed early, get enough sleep, and then. But the point is that we should rise early in the morning. This is the system. Srila Prabhupada would go to bed at 10:30 and rise at 12:30 without an alarm clock. Prabhupada was already up at 12:30 translating. While everyone else was at Mangalati, Prabhupada was translating his books like that. So this should be the system. We should rise early in the morning. These are the peaceful hours. You see, Prabhupada used the early morning hours for his translation work. 12:30 in the morning till, 5 o'clock, 6 o'clock, like that. He was translating. Best time of the day to do anything, actually, but especially to perform spiritual activities. So you should rise early in the morning. It is auspicious. After waking up, first brush your teeth and afterwards take a bath. So we discussed this in the cleanliness seminar, which we did some time ago. Bathe after passing stool. We also discussed this in the cleanliness seminar. Devotees should be clean like this. In the English it says cleanliness is next to godliness. Cleanliness is next to godliness. So they said that they told Prabhupada this saying. Cleanliness is next to godliness. Prabhupada said, no, cleanliness is godliness. The spiritual world is impeccably clean. Third canto of the Bhagavad Gita, you see. The Kumaras go to Vaikuntha, it describes the Bhagavad Gita, the spiritual world is clean. But even still, even though everything is clean, everyone is still cleaning everything. Just to show that they're doing some service like that. But actually everything is clean there. Just like you see on the floor, it's actually not clean properly. It should be vacuumed like that. So devotees notice these things. Devotees do not feel comfortable if something is not clean. Just like some devotees picked me up from the airport this morning and they took me to their place, their ashram. But I walked in, it was a couple of single men living there and wasn't properly clean. This is the habit of Prabhupada says, brahmachari means muchi, not properly clean. But your house should be suchi. It should be a place of cleanliness. It should be brahminical, not sattva-guna. Devotees live in sattva-guna. We don't live in rajaguna and tamaguna. Everything should be impeccably clean. Like that. So. Wash with water after passing urine. Also wash the hands and the feet. So these are all the proper sadachars. We covered these things in the cleanliness seminar. Wash hands, feet and mouth before and after taking prasadam. We must at least wash our hands. In the Western countries it may be difficult to wash our feet, but when in India you should wash both your hands and your feet before and after taking prasada. So before you take prasad, wash your hands, wash your feet, your mouth, and then afterwards, all these things. Before you go and take, if you want to serve more prasad, you have to wash your hands, your mouth, and your feet, if practical, like that. Also, one thing I think we mentioned when we did the cleanliness seminar on how to honor prasad, after you take prasad, you see quite often the devotees, they offer their obeisances after prasad. Is this good or not good? Why not good? Because everything is unclean, like that. But you'll see, even still, you'll see devotees quite often, after they take prasad, they offer their obeisances. It's something we do in ISKCON. They don't do it in India. In the Gaudiya Mats and the other institutions, they don't do these things. So it's something that we should not do. It's not considered cultured. We mentioned these things in the previous classes, but just so you remember. Wash hands after drinking water. This is done because when you hold your cup while drinking, your hands actually become contaminated. So we see that system that Prabhupada taught us. We call it like brahminical drinking of water, or the brahminical system. Prabhupada, when he drank the water, he would not touch his mouth to the cup. So you can just pour it like that. You see, Prabhupada would just go, drink the whole cup like that. So if you do not do that, then you do not have to wash your hands, technically speaking. But if you touch your mouth to the cup, then everything becomes contaminated. Prabhupada says that contamination travels like electricity. Just like the microphone, right? And then you follow the cord, right? And then, of course, there's no cord because it's a Kali Yuga system. But generally speaking, there is a connection. If one thing is electric, then this becomes electric, then that becomes electric, then everything becomes electric. So Prabhupada says contamination travels like electricity. So if you are unclean and you touch something, then that thing also becomes unclean. So you have to learn to keep yourself clean properly. You have to learn these things. Prabhupada was very particular about these things, very particular. If you read Hari Sori Prabhu's diary, Prabhupada would constantly correct Hari Sori Prabhu. He would say, if he would do something which was unclean, then Srila Prabhupada would say, you are just malecha. Malechas and yavanas. Just unclean. You don't know these systems. If you read Harisori Prabhu's diary, he was explaining to Prabhupada that before he became a devotee, he lived in England, like the northern part of England near Scotland. He said they would just take bath once a week. That was the system. Once a week, take bath. And they thought that was normal, that was natural. Prabhupada was, could not believe like that. So this is not etiquette like that. So a devotee is clean. That is the Vaishnav etiquette. Okay. Use the right hand for eating and drinking. Even if you are a lefty, try to use your right hand. So we covered this also in the previous classes. Good way to train someone if they're left-handed, make them sit on the left hand while they're taking prasad. And then that will teach them to use the right hand. Like that. We only use the right hand to give something, to receive something, to take prasad. We never take, even I told you when Prabhupada would eat the banana, right? He'd pick up the banana, he would peel the banana with his mouth. Wouldn't even touch the banana with the left hand. You see, all of us, when we peel banana, we hold with the left hand and peel with the right hand or like that. Prabhupada would pick it up and he would peel the banana with the teeth. This is the culture, the etiquette. Always wear clean clothes. We went through this whole cleanliness subject. If you want to worship the deity in the temple, hands up if you want to worship the deity in the temple. Okay, so one day if you want to worship the deity in the temple, you have to learn how to be clean. So you go back to week one, it's on YouTube. You can watch, and then you can learn how to be clean. You have to follow all the proper etiquettes of cleanliness. It's interesting, because these are general principles. This is not a cleanliness seminar. This class is are general principles, but you see how much emphasis there is on cleanliness. And when Prabhupada was teaching us to worship the deity, then he said two things are important, cleanliness and punctuality. So cleanliness is a huge part of Vedic culture, a Vedic civilization. People are clean, they're brahminical, they understand. Even I've been to India, in Vrindavan, out in Braj, in the villages, and you get some simple girl, you know, she's only 12 years old, she comes to the well, not the well, but the pump in the village, and she has all the children with her, but before she drinks from the pump, she runs the pump, gets some water out, and she gets the water. She takes earth, right, and she cleanses the pump, right, cleanses everything, then pumps some water, gets the water. She spends 1 minute, 2 minutes just cleaning the pump even before she'll start drinking the water. This is Vedic culture. And you say, oh, she's just a village girl. But she knows cleanliness. She understands the system. So these things we have to learn. This is the Western disease. The Western disease is nothing is clean. Everything is contaminated in the West. Like that. So we have to learn, because then you become slack and you think, oh, I want to be like the Westerners. I want to dress like them. I'll dress like a British person. You see the ladies in India, they wear saris. All the men, they wear pants. They don't wear dhotis. How many people wear dhotis these days?
Actually,
Tamil Nadu
is there.
Okay, so Tamil Nadu is pure. Okay, we get the point. But, okay, you look, most of the managers are wearing saris, right? Most of the managers are wearing saris. But all the men are British. Right? The British ruined India. Right? They don't wear the dhoti. What is wrong with the dhoti? What is wrong? Gandhi was pushing that we will make our own cloth. We will not buy the British cloth. We will make the khadi, dhoti. Prabhupada very much liked Gandhi, very much appreciated Gandhi. And then what happened? He was assassinated. And then Prabhupada said, Nehru destroyed India. Because Prabhupada very much appreciated it. Gandhi was trying to take things back to a simple Vedic way of life to some degree. Then he signed deals with the British and said, no, we need factories. We need industrialization. We need commerce. And then now India is no better than the West. Still it's better, but you know, in some ways it's worse. India's worse in many ways. In other ways, it's better. But now it's just imitating the ways. Everyone dresses like the British. Prabhupada did not dress like the British. Like that. So there was a system. You come to the temple, you should wear dhoti and kurta. The Krishna's temple. Okay. Always wear clean clothes. Never steal anything. Hands up if you've never stolen anything in your life. Good boy. Never stole anything? Is he telling truth or? Really? Wow. Never stole anything. Wow, so good. Now hands up if you never stole anything this year. Since the beginning of the year, you never stole anything.
Well, you did steal flowers for another
one. Yeah. Like that, so. So that Vaishnavas do not steal. Important point. Vaishnavas do not steal. Even in the past, you know, sometimes accidentally someone gives you too much money. Like when you go to the checkout or something, they give you too much money or like that. So I just kept it. Like that, or you know, it always happens. People, they give you too much when you know you're at the shop or something. They give you too much or something. But now I'm getting more. I don't do it all the time, but I'm getting more into the policy or the consciousness that I'll be honest. So sometimes they give you too much, and you say, "No, I think you gave me too much," and they very much appreciate the honesty. And then usually what they do, they said, "No, just keep it anyway." But the point is that you were honest. Honesty is the qualification of a brahmana. So we should not steal anything. We should learn to follow these things. It says that the brahmanas become very powerful. Their words are very powerful. When a brahmana speaks, the words have great potency. Now why is that? Because they follow the austerity of truthfulness. Because they never tell lies. So because they never lie, their speech becomes very powerful. And you'll see, if you begin to practice this, if you stop telling lies, your speech will become very powerful. It will have potency. But if you lie a lot, your words will not have so much strength like that. So anyway, these are things that we should consider.
Really, I have not had
a question. Acha.
I came to my car and there was some $2 coin lying there and there was no car, you know, nearby. And I thought, I don't know what I should do, so I picked it up.
Oh, no.
And then I came to the temple and I put it in the box. I say, everything belongs to Krishna, so I give it there. So I don't know what I should have done.
You got an A+.
No, but is it the right thing to do or should I have left it?
A+. If you left it there, that is B. Yeah. If you pick it up and put it in your pocket, right, that is C. Right? But if you just leave it there, that is B. But if you give it to Krishna, that is A. That is the best.
The thing is, somewhere I read that you should just leave it there so that if somebody remembers, they can come and...
Maybe if it's a large amount of money, you can hand it into the police or something. But if it's just $2, then...
I think in a couple of $2 coins.
No, it's a couple of coins.
So long.
Let us get the story straight. How many notes were there?
just few $2.
And now the story gets a little bit bigger.
It happened so long ago.
Yesterday.
Actually, in the morning, I didn't go anywhere yesterday.
No, but if you give it to the deities, that's the best thing. It actually says in the Shastra, it's actually written, that if you steal something and you give it to Krishna, there is no reaction, but also you do not make any advancement.
In stealing or Krishna consciousness?
stage in Krishna consciousness. So if you're stealing something and giving it to Krishna, right, you don't get any reaction because it belonged to Krishna in the first place, but you do not make any advancement either. So you have to consider this point.
Ayyappa, I'll tell you this story. In 1973, we went to South India tour, and my wife left a purse with passport, money, everything. And then she forgot. Then one young girl came and she didn't know. The Lord looks after, if you're honest.
I went into the bus, and then in the bus I remembered there is my purse. So I went back to the temple, and then I was just asking, and the girl came. And she said,
"I have got
your purse."
This is
your
purse. Yeah, this is honesty. We should be honest. Do not steal, do not lie. This is Vaishnav etiquette. Do not become inimical to others. So don't make enemies with devotees and also with non-devotees. Don't make enemies with the people like that. Be very friendly towards everyone, like that. Even non-devotees and like that. Even though sometimes the non-devotees don't have very good habits, they don't speak properly, they don't act properly, but still you should just be friendly to them. Don't get involved with them, but just be friendly. Stay neutral. Do not develop friendship with people who are envious, fallen, insane, inimical, extravagant, deceptive, lying, or illicitly related with women. Do not develop friendship with unchaste women. Okay, so this is a very comprehensive list. People who are envious, right? So avoid the envious people. Like them. People who are insane, means if they are crazy, puggle, right? If they not there properly, means you have to be careful with them because they may do something. If you give them too much trust, right, they may do something a little bit crazy. They may steal something or do something. So it just means be very cautious with them. That's what it means. Treat them properly. Like that. Not disrespectfully, but it says don't develop friendship. It means don't be not a friend with them. Be respectful to them. Be friendly to them. But just be cautious because they could do something. Envious people. Devotees are not, how do you say it? Devotees are not sentimental. In other words, devotees are streetwise. You know this saying? In the West, we say streetwise. Streetwise means someone who knows how the street operates. Just like my guru Maharaj, he grew up in New York City. So he used to tell us he was streetwise. Because when he walked down the street in New York City, there was always gangs, right? People who would steal things, people who would steal from you, people who would beat you, like that. So he said you had to be streetwise. You had to know who was who. You have to understand, you know, look at them so they know that you know they're there, but then you look away. You know, if you look at them too much, they'll become aggressive, but you just look just so they know. So devotee has to be streetwise. You have to know how to deal with all the people. You know, some people are low class, envious, dishonest. So you watch them. You know, you look at them. I know what you're like. You know, don't get inimical with them, but just say, I know what's going on, so you just behave properly. Also the crazy people. You look at them, I know what's going on, so don't you misbehave. So you be friendly to them, but also you be cautious. A devotee has to know how to do these things. Who wrote this? Sanatana Goswami. Sanatana Goswami was dealing with the Muslims, right? The Nawab Hussein Shah. Nawab Hussein Shah was murdering people. Sanatana Goswami had to deal very carefully with these people. Nawab Hussein Shah said to Sanatan and Rupa, Rupa and Sanatan goes, if you don't work for me, I will kill all of your people. That's what he said. If you don't work for me, I'll start killing all the cows and all of your people. So they had to deal very carefully. They knew what, that's why he's writing like this, because he knows how to deal with them. Deal with them in such a way that they act properly, but always keep your eye on them. Like that. So devotees have to be intelligent. Prabhupada was very intelligent. Prabhupada knew exactly how to deal with all the different types of people. Like that, so. Insane, inimical, extravagant. Extravagant means rich people. You have to be careful with dealing with rich people. Because rich people, they become intoxicated. And if you associate with them, you'll also become intoxicated with the material energy. And that's all. Deceptive, lying, or illicitly related with women. Do not develop friendship with unchaste women. So Chaitanya Charitamrita says, do not associate with women or those who are attached to women. Which means this is the modern world. So don't deal with unchaste women, or women do not deal with unchaste men, right? Those who are too attached to the opposite sex for illicit sex, right? Be very careful about that association. So don't associate with the opposite sex, or those who are attached to the opposite sex, which is even more dangerous, because they will bring your consciousness down very, very quickly. Well, that's all. Do not travel alone.
What's up?
I missed the fallen? Okay, sorry. So do not deal with the fallen people also. Next one. Fallen means someone who's not following the regulative principles. Like that, so. Do not travel alone. Especially this is in Vedic times, where you had to walk everywhere, long distances. Right? It says, do not travel alone. And these days you have to be also very careful. Right? Do not walk by yourself, especially the ladies. Be very careful. Always walk with another lady in the dark. Even you're going around the streets around the temple. You have to be very careful. Especially in Vrindavan.
Every morning program Mangalarti, they announce all the Matas never go alone, don't wear jewelry, there's so many things
announced. Yeah. Yeah, Vrindavan is not safe. Vrindavan, the spiritual world, is safe, but in the material world it's dangerous. Like that. The women should never walk alone in Vrindavan. So even in the West, don't walk by yourself at night. Like that. Even around the streets, around the temple, you don't know. It's dangerous. Like that. Don't go into the dark places. Be sensible. That's the point. Like that. Even the men, you have to be a little intelligent. Like that. So. Do not sneeze or yawn without covering the mouth. Alright? So if you sneeze, or if you yawn, like that. Sometimes you're giving class and someone starts going. It's not very encouraging. at least cover your mouth. At least cover your mouth. At least do that. You know, if you're going to yawn, at least, yeah. Yeah, that's better than just not covering your mouth. Devotees don't do like that. Do not laugh loudly. This means, if there's an appropriate joke, then you can laugh loudly. Like that. But actually, I'm not sure exactly what that means. But it means that out of context, that's the point. Because it was mentioned previously, when dealing with the spiritual master, one should not laugh loudly. Or in other words, what it means is at someone's expense. You know, you see an invalid person or someone does something silly or something, you don't laugh loudly and make a spectacle of the person or embarrass the person. But if someone makes a good joke, then we laugh. Well, if someone is funny, then you can laugh. That's okay. But not at the expense of someone to hurt their feelings. That's the point. Like that. Do not pass air loudly. Always avoid a crematorium, a garden, and an unchaste woman at night. So you don't go into the crematorium or the graveyards at night, because all the Buddhas are active, like that. Do not go into a garden at night. I'm not sure why it is saying like that. But
snakes and other unwanted things.
Snakes, all these things, so yeah. Whatever it's saying, but it says do not go into the garden at night, generally. It says in Vrindavan, it says do not do parikram at night. Because Krishna is performing his confidential pastimes at night. So you don't do parikrama at night time. Like that. It says here, it says a garden also. Yeah, it could be many reasons why it's saying that. But
what's that?
Spirits and ghosts.
Spirits and ghosts and snakes. Yeah.
They make comments that if the person is eating meat and then he's not pure, they will catch
him. Okay. So I'm not sure why it's saying garden, but not that. And an unchaste woman at night. That's obvious. Don't go to an unchaste woman, a prostitute. Do not go at night. Do not take shelter of a fallen person. So be careful of who you associate with. Mahaprabhu says, a satsanga tyaga, a Vaishnava acha. Vaishnava acha. How does a Vaishnav behave? A satsanga tyaga. He does not associate with the non-devotees. Be very careful who you associate with. Only associate with the non-devotees as much as you need to for practical reasons or to give them Krishna consciousness. Otherwise, avoid their association. It contaminates the consciousness. Neither sleep too much nor stay awake too much. Don't sleep too much. Right? Prabhupada says in Bhagavad Gita, how much sleep? 6 hours. But if you look at all of Prabhupada's conversations, particularly, Prabhupada says we should sleep as much as we need to do our service for Krishna. So some places he says 7 hours, 8 hours. Prabhupada even says if you're working very hard, then maybe even 9 hours. But generally devotees sleep like 6 or 7 hours. I need about 7 hours sleep to function properly. If I don't sleep more, if I sleep less after 2 or 3 days, I start... If I sleep only 6 hours a day after 2 or 3 days, I start dysfunctioning. So about 7 hours is good. 6 hours is better if you can. 5 hours is better if you can. 2 hours is best if you can. That's best, but, you know, as much as you need, but not too much. That's the point.
Didn't Prabhupada used to sleep in the daytime?
Yeah. Prabhupada would take rest after breakfast and after lunch.
For how long?
Half an hour. 2 hours at night, half an hour and half an hour, so that was 3 hours and 1 hour massage. So about 3 or 4 hours a day he rested. The rest of the time he was doing service. But Prabhupada is Prabhupada.
And he was empowered especially.
Yeah, and then he said to Guru Kripa, he said, why you are not Paramahamsa? Anyone can do it. But it's very difficult. I can't do it. I can do it, but not so advanced. Do not outstretch your legs in front of your elders. We mentioned this. Prabhupada would, devotees put their feet out in front of Tulsi Devi. Prabhupada said, you have committed an offense to Tulsi Devi. Offer your obeisances. So you never put your feet in front of them. We discussed this in the previous classes. Do not pass stool or urine on the road. Yeah, it's definitely talking about India. But in India, everyone is a doctor and everywhere is a toilet. This is India. Everyone's a doctor. Doesn't matter what you've got, everyone who comes to tell you, they'll say, you do this. Not that. The next person comes and says, no, you do this. Not that. The next person comes. Everyone's a doctor in India. Not that. And everywhere is a toilet. And just pass wherever you want. Just go wherever you want, like that. But Vaishnava will never do that. Vaishnava will never just pass on the side of the road or like that. Vaishnava will always go to a closed place, a private place. Like that. That is Vaishnava acha. And devotees are cultured like that.
But the first faith, you know, we went in India, I mean in Vrindavan, and they said to just go in the bushes.
In the bushes?
Yeah.
It's okay. As long as people can't see you, then. Okay. Do not spit while eating. Basically, you should not spit you should spit as little as possible. In India, it's the favourite pastime of all the men. You know, just walk down the road and just like... Yeah, just chewing their paan, just... Yeah, everywhere and anywhere. But be conscientious.
All the buses and the trains are spitting.
Yeah, all they just spit everywhere. It's disgusting. Like, if you're going to spit somewhere where someone's not going to walk. You know, don't spit in the middle of the path or the middle of the road.
It's very hard. When we walk, all the time we have to watch who is spitting, like, you know, go through very hard.
That's why we live in Australia. No spit key. Yeah, so if you're going to spit, then at least be conscientious. Do not insult women. Big mistake. No. Your life will never be the same again. Do not insult the women. Do not insult. Do not insult the women. Do not insult the women. Do not insult the women. So. Yeah, don't insult the women. But then the women should not insult the men. You can say generically, do not insult others, like that. But particularly, don't insult women. Means, especially in India, you see, now it's coming out. There's a lot of abuse of the women in India. In all classes, from the high, so-called higher classes to the low classes, women are being physically abused, sexually abused, all through India. All over the world, actually, like that. This is the point that's being made. Women are meant to be protected. Right? And a cultured man will always protect women. Right? And if any of us know of any woman who is not being protected, we must do something about it. And if you don't do something about it, you're not doing your duty as a man. Right? If you know that a woman is being abused in any way, shape or form, you should rectify the situation. Right, that's...
My director of the medical institute used to say, "Yatra naras yanti tatya om, wherever the women are worshipped, there in the heaven."
Yeah. Definitely. Never cause harm. Sorry, never cause any harm to anyone. Instead, always try to do good to others. This is a Vaishnava. He's always trying to do good for everyone. Do not associate with unscrupulous people or read scriptures that are not bona fide. Scriptures are in quotes, which means they are so-called scriptures. Okay. So how do you know which scriptures you should read? Right. You approach your spiritual master or the senior Vaishnavas, and they will tell you which scriptures you should read. Okay. Prabhupada said we should read his books.
What does it mean scriptures are in quotes?
There's quotes, like the little quote marks. Where the word scripture is there, it says there's quotes. Do not mock people who are foolish, insane, distressed, ugly, cunning, lame, or fallen. Something wrong with the... It's not holding it properly. Okay. So in other words, do not put down people who have some sort of fault or blemish. In other words, if someone is disabled or something, do not ridicule them. There's many examples in the Shastra where proud people, they would insult the sages. The sages had a lay, like Ashtavakra. There's many examples. Right? And then they got cursed, heavily cursed. So if you insult someone who has some problem, the curse will come back to you. The insult will come back to you. You'll get a reaction. That's the point. You will get the karma. Do not chastise anyone except sons and disciples to educate them.
Why you must not chastise, mock cunning people?
Which one?
Cunning people.
Because cunning people, they will retaliate. They will do something back to you. So don't chastise anyone except the sons and disciples to educate them. So be very careful. You only try to, the word's not coming to my mind.
Correct.
Correct, yeah. You only try to correct someone if they accept your authority. If they do not accept your authority, don't correct them. Then what's the point? If someone accepts you as an authority, then you can correct them. If they don't, then don't waste your time. That's all. Bathe after shaving, copulating, or going to a crematorium. So any of the men, you shave before you take bath. Sometimes you see people they don't know, they take bath and they come out and they shave. It's like the elephant rolling in the mud. Doesn't make any sense. Do not hit anyone on the head or pull anyone by the hair. Please. Don't hit anyone on the head.
What's copulating? Drobdi.
Copulating means sex. Like that.
Drobdi and Shashi.
Yeah. That's that. Do not eat yogurt or chickpea flour at night. Actually, Srila Prabhupada instructed us about yogurt, but we are not so sure about the chickpeas. So you be careful about that now. Don't eat chickpeas at night. In the morning they are good, but not at night. So yogurt and chickpeas, at night time, just be very careful. If you eat them or if you overeat them, they will cause problems. Especially for the men, it can make you pass semen in the middle of the night. If you eat too rich at night, too spicy, too rich, yogurt, chickpeas, kaffa, heavy foods, you may pass your semen at night, which is not auspicious like that. So avoid the heavy foods, especially at night. If someone insults you, leave that place silently. Especially if it's your wife. And just leave silently. Yes. Say, yes, Mataji, you are correct. And just leave silently. Or if it's your husband, like that. Never praise yourself. It's Vaishnava Sadacha. Devotees don't praise themselves. Never look at a naked woman or man. This is the Western civilization. This is Malecha culture. Actually, it's Asuric culture. Prabhupada says nakedness or nudity is madness. Prabhupada says it's the sign of a crazy culture, insanity, like that. There's no such thing in the Vedic culture of people being naked, except the Nagababas. You know, that's their choice, but no one else. Everyone else dresses appropriately. Do not place your foodstuffs on your lap to eat. So you don't sit with your plate on your lap when you're taking prasad. You'll see people, you know, they have the Mahaprasad, they stand in the courtyard. Prasadam, you should never eat prasadam while you're standing. It's not honoring prasadam. You should always be seated. You should be not sitting, it should not be on your lap, and you should never have your shoes on while you take prasad. We cover this in the prasadam course. Do not quarrel with your wife. Okay, very difficult.
If I can't sit on my phone, I've got to put this thing on my lap.
Yeah, have a table if you can.
But if I'm getting prasad, I'm not.
Yeah, then that's okay. You have to be practical. Okay. All, for the elderly people, these rules are not so important. There are certain, when you're old, because it says you have to fast on certain things, but then it says when you're under 8 or over 80, you know, it says different things, it says then you don't have to follow these things. So there are certain exemptions. Do not spit on water. So never spit in the river, in the lake, in the ocean, any of these places like that. And also when you drink the water, you know, never put your mouth directly to the tap, like where the water is coming, or directly to the water stream. You always cup in your hand and drink from your hand. Sometimes you see people that, like, they turn the tap on, they drink directly from the water which is coming, but it's not auspicious. You should drink from the cup in the hand. Do not sleep in the temple room, especially during class. Sannyasi should bathe 3 times a day, grihastas and brahmacharis at least 2 times a day. After one takes prasadam, the area where the plate was kept must be cleared. One should not step over the area where the prasadam was taken because it is considered contaminated. So this is a basic principle. We've gone over this before in the cleanliness seminar. After touching the inside of the mouth or nose, one must wash his hands. So you can see that many of these things are just practical etiquettes about cleanliness. That's how important cleanliness is in Krishna consciousness. So, does anyone have any further questions? What we've discussed?
Never put pens in the mouth.
Yeah, do not put the pens in the mouth. I don't know how many times I've mentioned this. Still, even to this day, I see devotees doing this. You don't put anything in your mouth, right? You put your fingers in your mouth, anything you put in your mouth, it's contaminated. I see devotees sitting there, you know, chewing on their pen while they're listening to the lecture. It's disgusting. Any other question? Comment? Okay, Srila Prabhupada ki?
Yeah.
Very good.